Last week, David Trainer, president and founder of New Constructs, was here warning that investors who rely too much on PE ratios were headed for trouble. Well, he's going to steer you away from trouble today as he's back for another trip to the danger zone. Yes, it's the danger zone on Money Life. This is where David Trainer, the president and founder of New Constructs, joins us to talk about something that he sees as potentially troubling. Now, it's important that you understand how it works at New Constructs because they kind of turn everything on their ear. It's discounted cash flow models meet forensic accounting, but it also starts from basically jumping in at the bottom up. Where most people look at the top down, they see numbers like PE ratios or like profits without footnotes, and they go,
"You are so good looking."
David digs in at the bottom and works his way up, basically trying to answer the question,
"Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?"
It is possible. And when something is not as attractive as it looks from the top down, it's misleading. It's dangerous. When something maybe looks better, then that might be attractive. And if you want to learn more about how it works, you're going to go to newconstructs.com. They blog about their danger zone picks. So you can always get more information on anything we discuss by going to the website. And you can make sure you don't miss any important news or their blog picks and more by following them on Twitter, where they are at New Constructs. David Trainer, good to have you back.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Investors who rely on return on equity.
Danger, danger.
Okay, so I'm sensing a bit of a theme that is building here. Last week, we were talking about the danger zone for investors who rely, and the key word there was rely, on price earnings ratios. We weren't saying that the price earnings ratio as something of an indicator was necessarily completely horrible, but it was about how reliant someone was on it when there were so many better measures to go. Now we're talking about return on equity, ROE. And again, investors who rely on it are headed for trouble. What's your problem with ROE now?
It's the same thing as PE. And I think the big picture here for just a second, Chuck, is that, look, our technology allows us to do the work everyone ought to do, right? We've talked about that for a long time. But the scale that the technology brings means people don't have to rely on these rules of thumb that can be reliable sometimes, but are most of the time actually not very reliable. Like last week, you made the good point. Sometimes a PE ratio does reflect the relative valuation fairly well. The problem is that it's prone to some significant errors because it's got some significant flaws, and you never know, unless you do your homework, when those flaws are having an impact. And so what I'm kind of really circling back to here these days, Chuck, is to say, listen, we think everyone deserves access to this high-quality fundamental research. There's no need to rely on PE and ROE with these flaws because we're giving you something better, and it's easily accessible and available and inexpensive, and ROE is another in the long list of commonly used popular metrics because they're simple and easy to access that has significant flaws, and we want to shed some light on that.
What we're really talking about is evolution. Now, I am not calling you old because you are significantly younger than me, but you are experienced. And the truth is that the way people use PE and ROE today is not like when I was learning how to invest in the 1980s. It was not this huge focus on PE. It was other stuff then. PE became better than what we had to look at, and that helped to drive things, and especially as you got into the 90s. So help people understand the evolution that we're going through. ROE, when I was first learning to invest, it was not something that a lot of people spent time looking at. Is this just the evolutionary process here?
I believe so. I mean, I've had a lot of our institutional clients say that to me. You know, so David, it sounds like you're just part of the natural evolution of the markets. And I do believe that what we provide should be a basic service for every investor, right? I mean, the difference today is it's something sort of like the food industry. You know, back in the 40s and 50s, people ate more healthy because there just weren't as many chemicals around to pollute food. It wasn't as much of a profit-maximizing business as it was today, and there wasn't the temptation to use these chemicals to blow margins. Now that people know that the chemicals are in the food, well, now we're going back to healthy stuff. And when my grandfather was in the business, going back to some history here, right, they could pick up an annual report and they could use ROE, and it was pretty reliable. But guess what? Annual reports back then were, I don't know, 15 to 30 pages. Annual reports when I started in the business in the mid-90s were 15 to 30 pages. A long one was 50 pages. Now they're 200 to 2,000 pages. In all that voluminous additional material, you've got all kinds of footnotes and fine print that companies exploit to manipulate these surface-level simplistic ratios. And so the level of complexity in the investing business has exploded. And so I think sort of like, you know, the food industry, you know, you could just rely on what companies told you a long, long time ago. For a long time, people still thought they could rely on these things, and now they're learning that they can't. And now we have, you think of new constructs, like the organic version, you know, the all-natural version of research, because we're not poisoned by susceptibility to accounting loopholes or conflict and bias for banking business or any kind of corporate relationships. We are the raw, unadulterated approach to research, and we've got technology that allows us to do that. And the technology here, the difference here is that there's special technology required to go through these really big, long filings, to do that with skill and consistency. And we've been developing that technology, you know, for 15 years, and people really starting to pay attention because we've got firms like Ernst & Young demonstrating the material superiority of it, Harvard Business School and MIT demonstrating unequivocally and empirically the material superiority of what we're doing. So it's really kind of gotten to the point now, like, why the heck won't you use it? You know, it's readily available. It's cheaper than a lot of the other research. We can do that because of the technology, and there's no reason everyone shouldn't take advantage of it the same way everyone has indoor plumbing.
Is there a measure that for somebody who really likes ROE, that you would say, you know what, here's what I think is the replacement for ROE? Now, again, we wouldn't necessarily want to rely on any one measure. That's also part of the moral of the story here. But is there something where you would now be telling people, if you've had a focus on ROE, look at this instead?
Yes, that number is return on invested capital. And that, I think, is a very intuitive ratio for people to understand. It means how much cash flow does the business generate relative to how much capital has been put into that business over its life. It's the way you manage the performance of your money manager or your advisor. It's the way we measure the performance of mutual funds, ETFs, etc. How much money do these businesses or do these entities earn relative to how much capital has been given them? Right? This is the way the big institutions look at companies, right? If you're a big owner of a business, you're Warren Buffett, or you're a big mutual fund, or you're a big direct investor in any business, right? Private equity firms, they look at how much capital they've put into a business and how much cash flow that business is going to send back to them. So return on invested capital is that metric for all public and private entities. That's the focus. Return on invested capital, that's the metric that Ernst & Young says we do better than anyone else. That's the metric that Harvard Business School and MIT Sloan have shown that we calculate better than anyone else. And that's the one number.
And that's the number, of course. Now, as we say, you're always looking to make sure that everything is on the up and up and it's not misleading. So it's ROIC instead of return on investment. And the result is that, you know, we're changing the way you look at things. And yeah, if you have been relying too much on ROE, you have been in the danger zone. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chuck.
That is David Trainer. And if you want to learn more about everything we've been discussing, if you want to find out why David just said ROIC is a measure you want to rely on, ROE not so much, go to newconstructs.com. Check out the blog where they talk more about their danger zone picks. Follow them on Twitter at newconstructs. Money Life will be right back with more.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.